it's time once again for Sports Sidebar, covering sports for Northeast Ohio, and sometimes even a little outside that area. Sports Sidebar, where we prove that a little knowledge is dangerous, but even less knowledge makes it a little easier to fill an hour. Now on to our hosts, Captain Bill and Dave.
And good Tuesday afternoon, and hey, World Series tonight.
I'm excited. I'm glad I'm here to be able to watch it after my fishing fiasco yesterday.
I was going to ask you,
were
the fish biting or the mosquitoes?
Well, the mosquitoes were too cold. It was cold, wet, miserable. I went up there with my brother and four of his friends, and we were both hoping they didn't show up. They all showed up. It was just cold, wet, miserable. We caught perch, which I love. I mean, it's wonderful. We caught about 60 perch, but that's not a lot of blades. They're not a big fish. But it was miserable. I was cold to the bone. Cold to the bone, I tell you. And here I am. And here I am, an experienced nautical captain. And, wow.
But you're a captain that hangs up your mighty ship in the wintertime.
Yes, the nuclear-powered pontoon. The first and only one in the whole world.
Yeah.
And another disappointment, too. And I know we haven't talked about it much since the pandemic. You know I'm a world-famous juggling expert. And the association I belong to, the Yodeling Assessors Worldwide Network, Jan.
Yes.
We're having tough times. It's just we haven't met.
I would imagine auditions, by Skype would be or Zoom would be a little tough.
Oh, Zoom. We tried Zoom yodeling. We're in a real fix. Just like every other artistic format. It's just, I know you've been concerned about it.
Yes, of course.
Yes, I mean, every time we get together and talk before the show, it's, how's yodeling going? And I know you're concerned.
Yeah.
So anyway, I still plan to travel here in a couple of weeks to Aruba, and we're trying to see if we can, do our annual Central and South America yodeling, but it doesn't look very good.
Socially distanced yodeling. I mean, yodeling does a lot of spritzing,
Yeah, they do. You belt out those high notes and spray comes out. You can't wear a mask.
No, it's
impossible. And I just don't think it's going to happen. Very, very disappointed. And a lot of potential this year. Potential. But maybe next year. I know one thing for certain, it looks bleak about going to spring training. I just can't imagine with the, talking about baseball, that we're going to be comfortable enough to lay down money now so we can go in March. And it's just, with the winter months approaching. And,
not only that, I don't even know if they're going to do
that. Yeah.
And you don't even know if they're going to allow fans to be there.
I would think they're going to have spring training without fans. That's my gut feeling, is that they don't want to risk the players and everybody else being that close. I mean, you get 3,000 or 4,000 people in a stadium. You just can't socially distance. And what happens if they just parse out a few tickets and you go there and spend all that money flying? And with lodging and food and everything, and you go there, you can't get a ticket. It just doesn't. It's something we've done for the last 8 years, and regrettably, it just doesn't seem like it's going to be something we can do. But World Series is going to take place,
yes.
And I think it's going to be an exciting World Series.
I think a lot of people were more comfortable when Houston did get edged out.
Oh yes, I was really concerned that the Cheetos, as they're called, the Cheetos, the guys that cheated last year and the year before, and really weren't, other than management and general management changes, none of the players who participated in it were held accountable for whatever reason. And they had a sub-500 record going into the playoffs, and they were within two or three runs of going back to the World Series, which I think would have been a travesty.
Yep, yeah. After being caught cheating, and yeah, they got fined and they fired a few people, but, you know, some of them are already going, it looks like they're maybe going back to work, you know.
Yeah,
and, you've got, and they took it to seven games.
It was an exciting series. I watched most
League,
of it.
Both American League and National League went to seven.
Yeah. I watched most of the American League Championship Series, and tried to catch the last game between Atlanta and LA. Rooting for Atlanta because it's my nephew's favorite team, John, and because I don't have any skin in the game as far as. In the National League, but so I wanted Atlanta to win, and once again they you know, they're the bridesmaid instead of the bride, and LA is an excellent ball team with just, I was surprised they got down that 3-1 against Atlanta, but they came back as good teams do. And Tampa, I really like Tampa. I want them to win it. Their manager, like we said before, is a protege of Terry Francona, Kevin Cash, and he seems to have made a mid-market team viable. The way they, you know, use their farm system and recruit players that elsewhere weren't doing great but are doing well they're basically a no-name.
Yes.
Team. I mean, they really are. It's an amazing thing. Versus LA with Mookie Betts.
I mean, you're going against, again, one of the lower payroll teams against the highest payroll team.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's mind-boggling.
I find it interesting because once the Indians were eliminated, you said, I'd like to see Tampa Bay go all the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't want the Yankees. Can't stand them. Right.
And we didn't want Houston.
Didn't want Houston. So Tampa Bay, was a team that kind of pushing. So I'll watch it. I look forward to it. I think it's going to. It's just such that LA just has so many weapons. But the pitching, again, it's pitching. And that's what gives me hope, I guess, with the Indians that. They're pitching both. They use a concept more of the opener with Tampa. They use an opener, a pitcher who will pitch one or two innings, and then they bring in what we would call a starter. They use that quite a bit. It seems that, you know, they've done quite well with that concept versus the traditional bringing in a starter.
That's interesting. I never really thought about it, but, you know, you would get to the point in the game where your starter is less effective after players have already seen him pitching like two times during that day, that you the third time is usually they're getting some things figured out. Well, if he's in the third, you know, if you got somebody running for two innings and their third time up, he's going for the rest of the game. But, you know, that's an interesting concept. It truly is. Have they been doing that all year long, or is that just something?
Yeah, they've used that all season long, and last year as well. I mean, he seems to be the innovator of the opener. Opener being not the closer, but a concept of same similar, but at the beginning of the game rather than the end. So you have your opener pitch an inning, maybe two. Your starter pitch several innings, and then when they get the second or third look at the starter, they bring in the relief pitching. So, seems to have worked, and they garner enough runs to make it a possibility. But so we'll see. I don't know how they're going to do it tonight. How they're going to start out? Maybe they will use that concept tonight. I don't know, but. it's been interesting. The first time in history, at least that I'm aware of, that there were no day offs. It put tremendous stresses on the pitching staff, just tremendous. And where in most World Series, your best pitcher if it goes to seven games, has an opportunity to pitch three times because you have days off. And they can't do that. I mean, at the most, you're going to see them twice. Or if they do try, it's going to be on very short. And I don't think the World Series is going to have day off. I'm not sure about that. I don't know if they're playing seven or, you know, 4 to 7 straight games or not. They're playing in a bubble. Where are they playing? Are they playing San Diego or are they playing in? I'm not sure.
I'm not 100% sure. The papers have been not very much about baseball since the tribe has been eliminated.
Yeah. Well, it's all football all the time now, but I don't know. I think it's going to be played at either Houston or San Diego. I would think we got LA, obviously a West Coast team. They're going to be probably playing at 8:30, 9:00 to start, so they can get the LA audience in. So. I think it's going to be Houston. I don't know what tells me that, but I think it's Houston because Houston has a movable stadium, you know, retractable roof.
Okay.
So even though San Diego weather is usually
you don't need
quite nice. Yeah, you don't usually have to worry about it, but once in a while they do. But don't quote me. I think it's Houston.
Actually, looks like it's going to be a Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas.
That's right. That's what I meant. I'm sorry. That's what I meant. It's the brand new Dallas stadium that they couldn't use this year very much, other than the 30 games that they played. Yeah, it's a brand new stadium. So both teams will.
That's going bad. I still feel like the where Cleveland plays is a brand new stadium, but yet that's what, over 20 years old now.
Oh, it's more than that now. It's
like
20.
I said over 20. Is it?
It's 20, 1994, because I was at the very first game.
Okay.
I was just a young lad at the time. Very young, very young.
You had pigtails too, you know.
Yeah. Let me see. It was 94. So, it's 26 years. But it's a great stadium. It really is. From a fan perspective, if they keep it up, and they will, I can't see any way that they're going to say, well, it's outdated or anything like that. But it would be nice to have some sort of, these other big cities have retractable domes. My goodness gracious, baseball in March and April. It's brutal.
Yeah.
And May, it's brutal. And they don't have the resources to. Yeah, at one time, somebody was contemplating a way to put a retractable dome over the existing Progressive Field, but I don't think that went very far. And I think that First Energy Field, which is now. What is it? That's 21 years old now.
Is it really?
It came back in 99.
Well, we had a product to share there, yeah.
Well, that's true. But you would think that, I guess none of the AFC North teams have a dome, but my goodness, this can be brutal.
I hadn't thought about that, but they don't.
No. I have had several opportunities to go to Indianapolis and work, and they got that great dome there, and it generates so much, business, during the draft, they have the combines and everything like that, and there's all kinds of conventions and other things that they use. Now, it's obviously been hurt by the pandemic, but, so sometimes you wish you'd just go the extra step sometimes instead of saying, okay, this is all we can afford and we're going to do. But This is a pipe dream of mine. It'd be nice to have a retractable dome over Progressive Field, and you go there in April with snowflakes, and they close the roof, and you can watch the game in some comfort. But that's not going to happen, especially with the cash flow problems.
When you do something like that, you really need to build that with that in mind.
Yeah, you're right.
To do that and all the supports and everything you need for that, to build it in the first place is so much less expensive and so much more serviceable than to do it when after the fact.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I mean, the only way it could happen is eventually 20 years from now when they decide that it's no longer a modern stadium that I don't know if I'll be around to see that, but it'd be nice. It would really be nice to have a dome or something like that to go up there and see. And football the same way. But, you know, football is an outdoor game that plays in almost any weather. So I have mixed feelings about football playing under a dome. But it gives home team, though, an advantage over other competition that doesn't. If you can kick field goals and punt and everything in a in a dome stadium, you're going to have an advantage in your particular division with teams that don't have that. But right now, the AFC North is all outdoors, and we got the Arizona Cardinals. They have a great stadium. Some other ones across the country do as well. And of course, in Arizona, it's still 110 degrees out there. It's kind of, I guess I see the necessity in Las Vegas as well, the new stadium that they just built. So I guess we can handle it football-wise, but baseball is hard to watch in the cold. It really is, and it's hard to play in the cold. You don't have the gear and everything. So. But, yes, World Series, aren't they playing? Again, I'm not 100% sure. But I think they're playing 7 straight games or 4-7 straight games.
You know what? I can look that up while we're chatting.
Yeah, I certainly, and that puts pressure. I think that gives the advantage a little bit to Tampa, who can orchestrate their pitching staff a little bit better because they've used the opener concept. There's no more travel days, but no need to travel.
Looks like there's a game Tuesday, then a game Wednesday, then a game Friday.
So they are going to have a day off?
Then a game Saturday, and then a game Sunday.
So there's no game Thursday?
There is no Thursday game.
All right. They don't want to compete with Thursday night football.
Yeah, okay.
I would think.
You say so. You say so.
So. Without cable, too, it's been very tough
Also, there's no game on Monday. So Thursday and Monday are days off, and that could be, since it is, that is an outdoor stadium?
It's a stadium that has a retractable dome.
So the weather wouldn't be a factor. The 7 games will be played in 9 days if it goes to 7 days.
So they're not, it's a little bit different then.
So it'll be Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
All right, so they are having days off. Well, that gives the advantage, I think, to L.A. with their pitching staff. But we'll see. We'll see. You never know.
Play the game. That's why they
do that. You gotta play the game. Absolutely.
And I'm wondering how many people thought that Tampa Bay... first of all, how many people thought there was going to be a World Series this year anyway? Secondly, with that out of the way, how many people thought it was going to be Tampa Bay that would be there?
Well, you're right. In a 60-game season with their pitching staff and adequate hitting, they were able to, I think they had one of the best records, honestly. They won the American League East division.
It will be interesting to see that next year, because it will almost have to start, if not in a bubble, certainly start, and it'll be a much more of a regular season next year, since we know more how to handle it. And by the time baseball season is a little over halfway through, you know, they're saying that and the experts are saying that a vaccination should be available to most people.
Well, that's the best case scenario. I mean, they're all over the place. Well, we have vaccine, but you know, they have so many. You know, the priorities may not. It may be this end of the
end of the second quarter, which is July.
Yeah, and so I would think that right now, as we understand things, that the governor, if he's allowing 12,000 in for the Browns game, that they're certainly not going to have capacity at the Progressive Field. So they may have 6,000 or 7,000 at Progressive Field because it's a much smaller stadium. It's 40,000. So if you have,
I was wondering if Cash designed the system to be for a 60-game season and not for a year-long season. That will be interesting to see if he goes back to more of a regular system.
Well, he was known for using that last year as well. But he's done a great job ever since they let go of Madden. Joe Madden went from Tampa to Chicago. I think he's been the manager that replaced him. And, again, a small market team that's done very, very well. But overall, the Indians have had the best record overall than any other team in baseball in the last several years. But we fail miserably in the playoffs. Miserably.
Miserably.
I mean, whatever happens, we choke. Now, I can't say anything else more than that. Those two games that we lost were just abysmal.
And for once, it wasn't just because of the hitting. It was pitching that we didn't have.
It was total collapse. And defense, too. I remember that triple that went over Delano Shields' head. That kind of opened the floodgates. It was a mess. It really was.
We couldn't score because we did score, eight runs in that
game. And then we let them back in. Grand slam, two home runs, and we were ahead and with Brad Hand.
Grand slam. It was all set up by that error out in the outfield.
Yeah, it was a mess. I don't know. And again, we've talked about it. The division has pretty much caught up with us. Obviously, we haven't won it. And Chicago, when they get pitching with that hitting staff, watch out. And same with Minnesota. They have a very potent lineup. They can hit. If they get some more pitching, watch out. And we're going to be without substantial hitting next year as well. I mean, Lindor's got to be gone. I mean, everybody's proclaiming that there's no way the Indians are going to pay him an arbitration fee of $20 million. They're just not going to do it. They don't have the money. And so
I think he owes a refund after last season.
Well, good luck. Good luck on that one. I mean, the only thing I can think of, I mean, he's just not talking the way a hometown player would say, you know, I really, really want to stay here. I hope we can work something out. No, he's saying that the league's worth billions and the team is worth $1 billion, a lot of money out there. And this is telling me he's going to go with the best offer after next year if they keep him. I just can't see they keep him because well, I don't know how much more he can make an arbitration. He had a pretty dismal season, but they say he's still got. But you look at the whole work, you know, the whole, you know, when an arbitrator looks at the whole gambit of his future, of his past, and he's a premier player, according to everybody. And I don't know. I don't know if I would want to spend that kind of money to keep him, even
arbitration comes when that comes over the winter.
That comes over the winter. I mean, he's committed to the Indians through next season, but he's arbitration eligible. So if they come and say, you know, Frankie, we can only pay you $16 million this year, and he says, no way, you go through an arbitrator, and the arbitrator says, well, no, he's worth $22 million. And they know that's probably what's going to happen. They're going to say, no, we'll trade him. Trade him for whatever we can get. And, of course, every other team knows that.
Right. Right.
So you're taking at least one element out of your offense. You got Carlos Santana, unless he accepts a minor league deal of about $1 million, like Kipnis did with Chicago. He's not going to be a hot commodity after this year. And maybe they'll sign. I can't think of the second baseman, Hernandez. He may be helpless.
But it's going to cost you an arm and a leg.
You can't continue winning only getting three or four runs a game. It was pathetic. It was hard to watch him this year.
They were.
So, and then Reyes, he has two good weeks out of the season, and then he just.
Oh, well.
So every time the World Series comes in and we're not in it, it's just another year that.
It's what you call a normal year.
A normal year. It's just a sad because before I depart this earth, I want to see a World Series win. And I didn't have the opportunity like you did in 1948 to be around and watch.
So anyway, that is a look at baseball, and that begins tonight at 8:09 p.m.
8:09
Eastern Standard Time.
Oh, Eastern Daylight Time. We still have a couple more weeks of daylight.
Right. A couple more weeks, yeah.
And, of course I'm right.
The captain is always right.
Well, that's right. I have to know nautical time.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yes, you know.
Is nautical time, does that observe daylight savings or not?
Okay. Yeah. So, you go ahead an hour, summer, spring ahead, fall back.
So
it does make it complicated because the nuclear ions of my boat, you have to adjust when you put the ions and the rods in to make sure it doesn't explode into a mushroom cloud. I don't want you to be concerned, but, we have to be very careful, even in storage. That the nuclear engine is okay.
Yeah, you put it in somebody else's garage, not your own.
That's true. We do store it. Yeah, one of those radiation signs out. It's very expensive, too, to have a nuclear power boat. It's hard to get the rods to fuel it, but we do.
Well, you can do what you got to do.
That's right. Absolutely.
Speaking of doing what you got to do, that does lead us into football, which we've been ignoring. I will say this. I'm not completely discouraged. Steelers played the game of their year, and if they continue to play like that, they're going to go somewhere. They're going to be in the playoffs anyway, just because where they're already at. But they played a game. I mean, they play a lot closer games to teams that are a lot worse. And I just think this is they were extremely focused, and they had their eye on Baker Mayfield. And I tell you what, our offensive line that looked to be doing so well looked like it wasn't even there.
Well, he was really hit several different times very hard. But I guess it's disappointing to say the least, that because of a 4-1 going in, and that the history of going to Pittsburgh has been so bad over we haven't won there, I guess, that we being the Northeast Ohio fans of the Cleveland Browns, which I'm not an interest observer, even as an interest observer, you would hope that the Browns, with the kind of success that we've seen over the last 4 weeks, would go in there and be extremely competitive. In fact, the writers, all four of them, two picked the Pittsburgh, two picked the Browns, obviously thought that there's only going to be a 3 or 4 point spread either way. And they just went in with all this anticipation that finally, we've got a team that can compete with Pittsburgh, and they were blown out. It was just that's I think the disappointing part of it. Is that when it comes to the cream of the AFC North, that they're not quite there yet, even though 4-2 is very respectable. And they have Cincinnati next week. In every facet of the game, I think they were were very bad. It just you had key interceptions, Baker Mayfield. Maybe, I mean, I guess we can question the coach about even starting Baker Mayfield with the ribs problem. I don't know if you've ever had bruised ribs.
I have. The fact is,
I think Stefanski's calling you right now.
Oh, is he?
Yes, I heard that.
Yeah, well.
Or that's me. I don't know if it's me or not. It could be me. I don't think so. But.
What, they need a new hot dog vendor?
So anyway, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that Mayfield should have even started that game with a bruised ribs? I mean, I've had them. You can't even lay down.
No, yeah. I actually did it on one of my shoots once. And, yeah, it was you sit up for 3 or 4 nights before you can even begin to think of laying down.
Well, of course, he's a lot younger.
And he's a lot more certainly built up than I was.
Yeah.
Time in his life.
I can understand.
He should have started. He was cleared medically to play. I think if you get to that point where you decided, some people were saying, well, maybe you shouldn't pull him. You should pull him and not let him play in Cincinnati. And I think if you do that, now you've just created, no matter what, you've created a quarterback controversy.
Yeah, I don't think that's appropriate. He shouldn't, if he feels up to it, he shouldn't do that.
Oh, he didn't want to leave. He didn't play the last series of the third quarter, and he didn't play any of the fourth quarter. And
no.
He wanted to be in there. I mean, he's a competitor. Now, but again, he had no time. He had no time on his hands as Pittsburgh had the rush going all stinking day long, which also killed your rush, your ground game. There was never enough time to really set up a consistent pass game. So, basically, he was running for his life the whole day.
Well, they stopped the passing game. So, and they were they what they call flood the box for the running, and then the running was dismal to me. How much rushing yards? We only had 75 total, and 22 yards rushing, and certainly Chubb was missed in this particular game. But I don't even know if Chubb could have overcome.
Chubb had some kind of hole to go through, and there just weren't holes there. Like I said, Pittsburgh played their game of the year. I still think, we have, the third or fourth softest schedule for the rest of the year, except that we play Pittsburgh one more time and we play Baltimore one more time. So,
well, we also play, let me get my handy-dandy sheet out here. Play the Bengals next week. We really should win that one.
Should win that one, yeah.
I think
Burris is really going to be something, but this is his first year, and you lose a lot more than you win your first year. They still have to build the team around him. They have him, and you have to get your right players around him, both as receivers and as blockers. You just have to.
Well, they played the Colts tough. In fact, they were ahead 21-0 at one point. And they ended up coming back, the Colts, and won 31-27. So they are making strides. They're not a team that
you can take
for granted. I mean, like you said, they got to play the game, and we're playing it there at Cincinnati. So maybe that's a factor. They'll have 12,000 like we do in the stands, and I still think we have an abundance of offensive talent that can overcome the Bengals. But we didn't slaughter them. We won 35-30, but it was touch and go there in the fourth quarter. And again, I think they will prevail. They should, if they don't take this team for granted, and they should. Now the Raiders. The Raiders are a good team. I mean, they beat Kansas City.
Yes.
So I have them the Browns winning that game, but I also had a note next to it. It could be a toss-up. And so, yeah, we'll have to wait and see on that one. Then the next 2 weeks, the Texans aren't doing very well, even though initially they had a higher or a better power rating than the Browns, and so did the Eagles. But they're just – the Eagles are they're 1-4 and with one tie. And even – well, I don't know what happened. The Dallas was really beaten up Sunday – was it? Yeah, Sunday night. No, Monday night game they were played I didn't see the end of it, but they were down 21-0 when I turned it off. So I assume they'll be 2-4, but they're still going to be first in their division. It's a pathetic division. The NFC East. You know, if you're leading the division with a 2-4 record, it's pretty bad. But that just seems to be the case. Of course, they don't have their Dak Prescott anymore. He's out for the season. Hopefully. He'll get back next year. He had a very, very bad injury.
Yeah.
So he got Andy Dalton as a backup. And apparently he's not doing well right off the bat. So so we got the Bengals should win. The Raiders are going to be a tough game. I really think that's going to be a tough game. We do happen to play them in Cleveland, so that's a little bit of a bonus. But we're only 3.5-point favorites over the Bengals. On Sunday, so and the Raiders, that'll be interesting. That's going to be a very, very that could be a toss-up game as far as the betting line goes as well.
Because I think are we not in Vegas for that game?
No, we play them here.
We're playing at home, okay?
Yeah. So
in other words, yeah, it's an even match since you home team usually gets 3 points for being home.
Yeah. So the next three games after the Raiders, we have a bye game. So after the 8th, November 8th, is a bye week. So you've got then three games that should win. I mean, they should win against Texans, which is now coached by Romeo Crennel. The Eagles have just been very, very bad, and the Jaguars, which are very, very good. Those three are essential. To win those, to be competitive. Of course, there's going to be an expanded amount of teams to make the more wild card teams this year than most. I can't see them winning our division. It's just, I think that's just not plausible after the Sunday's terrible beating they got. And it makes it even more compounded by the fact they were beaten up so badly by a team in our own conference, or our own division. And we also lost to Baltimore, which we'll probably lose again to them. I mean, Baltimore
lost one game, and that was to Kansas City.
That's right. Anyway, I was listening to The Fan right after the game, and some other ones as well. You have the Baker Mayfield doubters coming out and saying it was a dismal draft choice. He's never going to take this team anywhere. Why didn't they put that entire loss was not on him? But he did have two interceptions that resulted in points. But the coverage was excellent. I mean, really, really bad. Plus, you don't know how much his throwing was affected by the sore ribs. He did miss a lot of – it was not good. He had a 53.9 passing rating. That's not good.
I guess going back to the question, should he have not started? Probably not. But do you pull him? And the answer again is no, probably not. But should he have started that game? No, he probably should not have.
Yeah, I agree. I really do agree. And, of course, trying to say that my bruised ribs, your bruised ribs were the same as his, with the best medical treatment that they can possibly get, plus the protection that he has. But he got hit on that side, and he was a mess afterwards. It's just, I guess you have to experience bruised ribs to understand at least a little bit on how he must have felt on Sunday. Now, he had a few days. You know, in a few days, you start feeling better, and they give him pain pills. But I don't think they wanted to go to Pittsburgh and have a controversy by saying, you know, we really want to, we got to put our best effort forward to beat this team. You know, we're 1-4 in a row. We're going in to the biggest game of the season. Really, it was to show that they were given national. It wasn't a national TV, but they got the best crew. They got Tony Romo as the analyst, and they got Jim Nass as the play-by-play guy. I mean, those are the
that's
their A team.
That's their top team. Yes, it is.
So they drew the A team, and it seems like every time that we get those guys, we do horrible. I mean, last year they opened the season right with the anticipation of the Browns with all the new talent, and they had given the opening game last year such prominence that they had Jim Nance and Tony Romo. And Tracy, I forgot her name, that also does the sideline reporting. They were there, and we got destroyed by Tennessee, which is another really good team. We play them too. We play them December 6th, and I think they're undefeated. I think they're undefeated. I see. Yeah, they're 5-0 as well. But Pittsburgh's 5-0. They're undefeated. Tennessee's undefeated. What are their Seattle's undefeated. I think they're the three remaining teams that are undefeated so far. And Buffalo wasn't doing well last time I checked. So they had the Sunday night game. I don't think they won. But
they had the. Actually, a Monday afternoon game.
Oh, was it? Yeah, it was a Monday afternoon
game. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see it here anyway. But I think they lost. They lost to Kansas. Who did they lose to? I don't know. I don't know right off the top of my head. But, I don't. They didn't have a good game. I know. I was watching part of it. I had to leave. I went to go support Clinton because we spent the night before we went fishing. And I didn't get to hear the end of it. So, but anyway, there's only three remaining undefeated teams.
Yep.
We play at least one more of them. I tell you, Tennessee is a really good team. I don't know why Jimmy Haslam insists on playing his home state team. They
beat up on us every time, even when they're not good.
Yeah. I mean, we seem to play them every year. They're not in our division.
Yes.
But he insists that the bragging rights, I guess, that he goes there and plays them, or vice versa. And they just, Derrick Henry, the running back, is just he's an animal. He's just a tremendous, he beat up Chubb last year for the rushing, best rusher in the NFL. But he won't have a chance this year because he's going to be out for another 2 weeks or so. And you got to be a little bit concerned. That's a knee injury. I mean, a knee is such a it's important to run with. You got to have a good knee.
Yeah, I was just looking here as trying to find the game here. I say headlines, but I don't see any score. So I'm trying to get the score for the Bills yesterday. I'm getting there, but the computer's going nice and slow today. So
all right,
okay.
I
that's okay because so am I.
And you know what, I am too. But it was that, I guess, in the context of, you know, is it a season busting game that this loss to Pittsburgh? No, I don't feel that way. And I think in past years I may have felt that way. Now, if they lose to Cincinnati, you know, all bets are off as far as the rest of the season goes. I mean, then
we're looking at more like what your prediction. Winning to Cincinnati, you still got a shot to get the 9 wins.
And I don't want my prediction to be true. I mean, I predicted 7-9, and it's not because I love the owners. Believe me, it's because the Browns have the best fans probably in the United States as far as devotion to this team. They dominate sports all year round. And these fans, year in, year out, just yearn for improvement and the chance one day to see a Super Bowl, because we're only one of three teams that have never been in it. Yeah. And it's just, when you see a loss like that, it really, really deflates you. But it shouldn't be as deflating as it would have been last year, the year before, and the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that. So it shouldn't be as deflating, because we have opportunities against teams that we should beat. And but I just have a bad feeling about this. Since I think we're going to win, but you know, they're playing there. This kid, this new quarterback, Burrows.
An ugly win is still a win.
It is. It's not going to be easy.
It was the Chiefs 26 and the Bills 17. So it wasn't.
Yeah, that's right. I watched.
Neither of those two teams were perfect. Chiefs are now at 5-1, and Bills are at 4-2.
Yeah.
Seahawks are perfect, and I'm looking down here. Steelers are perfect, and
Tennessee.
That's it. Steelers and mm-hmm. Seahawks.
Yeah, and
And the Titans. So, and the Titans. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Tennessee.
The Texans gave them a pretty good fight. They kind of flipped over to that game afterwards. So I kind of stuck around with it because I knew Romeo was there. And they ended up losing 36-42, but they were ahead and then kind of tied for a while before Titans kind of finished it off. But, yeah.
Well, that's what gives me concern. The Bengals were ahead of the Colts 21-0 at one time, and they ended up losing, but... And the Texans have played their competition tough ever since Romeo took them over. And the Eagles have given everybody some competition. I mean, again, it's going to be up to Coach Stefanski to keep this team saying, you know, we're not that good, guys, to say we can take these teams for granted. We're not that good. We're not getting those.
Yeah, because the Eagles, who were 1-4-1, lost to the Ravens 28-30. So that was...
30-28?
Yeah.
Wow. So, see, yeah, I mean, that's they gave a much better fight than we did.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, again, we just got to – hopefully this loss will be – you know, I think Stefanski has the savvy to better coach this team than Freddie Kitchens did. I think he just has. Okay, don't panic. We did things wrong. We're going to go. I'm going to take some of the blame. He doesn't take all the blame like Eddie Kitchens did. He said we didn't execute. I mean, the team didn't execute, and part of that was my fault. And part of it was their fault. Freddie always said it's all my fault. Yep. Everything is my fault. My fault. And then he wonders why he got fired.
Yeah.
Well, didn't you say everything was your fault? So,
yeah, he really thought he was going to get in there. It kind of makes me wonder, just looking at some of the scores here, has Bill Belichick lost his magic? He seemed to have always been able to, no matter who he had in there, pull games out. Well, he's a 2-3.
Yeah, the Buccaneers just beat up on the Packers, too. I mean, Tom Brady has still got it, man. He beat the Packers.
It only really took him a game to really start getting it. They are, the Buccaneers are 4-2, but they beat the Packers 38-10.
Green Bay was 4-0 going into that game.
Yes.
Chicago's having a good season, too. They're 5-1. The Bears.
Who do they have starting in Chicago now?
Oh, gosh, what's his name? They had a kid from Cleveland, Menor, as their, is it Foles? Nick Foles? I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. You quote me all the time, and I don't know if I have it right. Let me see. What game was that? Texas.
The Panthers and the Bears.
The Bears. Here we go.
You are correct, Nick Foles.
Oh, how about that? See? Well, Nick Foles took the Eagles to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. years ago. So,
yes, he did.
I can't think of that kid's name. Oh, Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky was the starting quarterback, and he got the boot, and now Foles has taken over. And that kind of scenario is what we have here in Cleveland. You have Case Keenum in the.
Let me ask you this, and I got thrown around the fan a while too. Is Case Keenum your future?
No.
He's barely your present. He's not your future.
So no.
This season, you have to play Baker Mayfield, and if he seems to be actually, well, we'll see. You can't compare the last game because he had absolutely no protection. He was injured, had no protection, and was sacked and hit after the fact and rushed the entire day. He had no time to really help make anything happen. So you can't say this is how his season is.
No, the last four games before we go in there,
he went into Dallas against what was then the number one offense, and he beat them.
And he adequately managed those four games. I mean, he did his job. The question is, it's always out there, right? Is he the franchise quarterback? Is he the superstar that will get us to the Super Bowl? And with this loss, you have all the naysayers saying, no, he's not. That if he continues to falter, the Browns' primary pick next year in the draft will be another quarterback. And here we go again. John Dorsey in at the time picked him thinking he was the best of that four, that elite four that were out there in that draft. But Josh Allen seems to be the best one out of those four.
I think he got hurt, I think.
He may have, which led to the Bills being hurt, defeated. But I don't know. I don't know. I want to give Baker the benefit of the doubt that he's continuing to learn. You know, it took some quarterbacks, like Aaron, quarterback for Green Bay, right?
Rodgers.
Jeez. I had a less than senior moment there. And he took him a while to learn his craft. And even Brady took a while. So let's get, excuse me, this young man the opportunity to continue the season.
It's going to be you're not going to have one of your top picks anyway. But again, does the best guy have to come as the top three picks? No, doesn't have to be. And
But if they utilize their running, if they block, there's a lot of ifs here. And continue, I say, if they continue to, they did have it was a bad running game. Let's face it, they knew what the Browns were going to do. I mean, they called flooding the box. So the from tackle to tackle, where the running backs have to make their living, they just were able to stop them adequately. But if they continue to improve on their running game, continue the blocking, and Miles, and even the defense stunk. I mean, Miles Garrett, you hardly heard a word about him on Sunday. So let's just assume that it was just, we went in there and just blew the game. It was just a bad performance all around. Chalk it up to not quite being there yet, and build upon those four games, 4-2, and go into Cincinnati, and they really should win.
They should
win, and do it convincingly.
It's not going to be a cakewalk, because Joe Burrow is not going to let anybody have a cakewalk.
You know what? What is a cakewalk anyway? We use that term all the time.
It used to be a fundraiser. It was a fundraiser thing where you walk through a certain thing, kind of like a musical chairs with cakes. You don't sit on the cakes, but if you had a certain spot, then you win the cake. So you walk around and you basically walk away with the cake at the end. So that was it. That's
a cakewalk.
That was a cakewalk, yes.
Wow, so it was like a musical chairs, but with cake.
Sort of. You don't sit on it. Right. But the end is you basically you walk around and the winner walks away with a cake.
So it's easy then to play cakewalk. Must be, or
let's just say it's no Final Jeopardy.
Well, okay then. It's just one of those. I just popped in my mind. We both used it, and I don't know the genesis of it, I guess. And if you say so, if it's just an elaborate musical chairs with a cake, what kind of cake?
There's like a, it's whatever the PTA bakes and brings in.
So cakewalk could be very competitive.
Only if it's a very good cake and somebody wants to steal it from you.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we clarified that.
Well, you asked.
Well, I know. I just think, why did you care about clarifying it? Now I can sleep well then.
Yes, because it's just something very, very simple. Yep.
Anyway.
So, we play Cincinnati. We should have a hard fought, but we should be able to walk away from a, in a way, win. And at that point, I think all the Baker detractors, once he does do, I mean, it'd be 5-2, and
there you that's go. Good. That's a good record.
Yeah. Been a long time since we've been 5-2.
Long time.
So it's going to be interesting. You're well on your way to your 7 and possibly the 9 wins. But you're right. I mean, some games I had planned on, like the basically because of how they played last year and moving to a new location, was the Las Vegas team. And they they turned themselves around. Gruden finally has them figuring things out.
Yeah, when you beat the Chiefs, you're a good team. I mean, you don't lose to the Chiefs. I mean, beat the Chiefs unless you have. I mean, they're a pretty complete ball team, and they beat them. And if they can beat the Chiefs, they can beat us. that's just a logical conclusion.
Yes.
John Gruden.
That doesn't mean we can't win that game. It just means we're not likely to win that game.
No, like I was trying to say, we're not to the status of those, the Pittsburghs and the Baltimores and the New England's not longer that status. But you know what I mean? Those teams, Kansas City.
But I think we are heading in the right direction, and we're also heading towards another one of the captain's puns.
Now this one's a little bit of a PG, maybe even a PG-13, but I don't think it is. But all right, ready?
I'm ready.
A woman was extremely upset with her cheating boyfriend and attempted to cut off his manhood, but instead hit his thigh. The boyfriend called the police, and when they arrived, the woman was charged with a misdemeanor.
Well worth the effort.
Well, I like that.
And we will be back next week. World Series. Well, because there's only 2 days off. One is Monday and one is Thursday. It may be over. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just played the pun. The Bob, somebody named Bob had sent me that. Yeah. I don't know why I went there. It made me clench a little.
We'll see everyone next week on Sports Sidebar.